The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that he who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. It's great to be back with you again. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Father Magat, and I was ordained with Father O'Hare for the diocese in 2002. And since 2013, I've been serving outside the diocese, mostly doing seminary work. These days, I work as the vice rector and a professor of moral theology at St. Patrick's Seminary in Menlo Park, California, which is in the Archdiocese of San Francisco. We're just about a stone throw's distance from formerly known as Facebook, now known as Meta, the northern part of Silicon Valley. This morning, we celebrate with the Universal Church this beautiful feast day of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. This feast day is actually paired with a memorial that will be celebrated tomorrow, Our Lady of Sorrows. So today, the Holy Cross, tomorrow, Our Lady and her seven sorrows, many of which are connected to our Lord's death and crucifixion. And there are so many things that can be said about this highest paradox of our Christian faith. And I want to focus our attention today on really an experience of someone that I helped come into the church about 23 years ago when I was a newly ordained priest assigned to St. Mark's in Vienna, here in the diocese. This particular person's experience of the mystery of the cross, I think, can be super instructive for all of us as we ponder this great mystery of our faith and really its highest paradox. You know, I like to tell people, you know, if you didn't know anything about Christianity in general and Catholicism in particular, and you were to come in off the street and, let's say, during the Eucharistic prayer, see all of us kneeling down, and you just sort of, as a sociological thought experiment, were observing human behavior in this church, if you didn't know anything about Christianity, which I know is hard to believe, but if you didn't, you might say to yourself, this is really odd. Okay, there's about 300 otherwise normal-looking people kneeling down in front of the image of a dying man. And not simply a dying man on a hospital bed, dying of natural causes, but someone who's actually enduring capital punishment. I want to know more. Well, this is exactly the posture of this convert to the faith that I helped guide into the church about 23 years ago. She was a Muslim, and we had to do most of her instruction in private because, unfortunately for her, there were a number of people in her family who she feared might do her in if they knew that she was becoming Christian and let alone Catholic. So this is sort of how the conversation went. I've always intrigued when former Jews and former Muslims become Catholic. It's not super surprising to me when Protestants become Catholic, because in a certain way, they're already kind of predisposed and wired to Jesus, right? They already have some experience of the Lord. And in many cases, sometimes much more personal and profound than many Catholics. I'm sorry to say, but it's true. So anytime that I would have a real pagan, that means a non-baptized person from a theological perspective, which is actually a very virtuous person, come into the church or desire baptism as an adult, it's really an intriguing thing, right? Because you're here, you're really seeing the working of grace. Now, just to give you a little bit of background of this particular woman, she's a professional woman, works in the city, assume she's still there, and she's enjoyed many professional educational success. She's sort of like this alpha woman who many of you perhaps at some point or another have worked for or with, something like that character, that caricature. But she's also a person with a sort of sordid past, and also a person with a high degree of experience of human suffering, and just a wide array of human tragedies that have occurred in her life. Death of loved ones, wayward children, illness in her own life and in others. I mean, she's suffered, and she's someone who has been a student for many years in the school of suffering. And I asked her why Christianity. She says, "Father, not just Christianity, Catholicism." I said, "Okay, good." I was going to start kind of broad, but okay, I'm glad we're getting to the point here. And she said, "Because this is the only religion," and here she means Catholicism, "that makes sense of what I have experienced in my life." She goes, "My entire life experience, in spite of personal success professionally and in the education realm, has been top tier. My personal life has been a train wreck. And I live with a certain void and emptiness in my life, not being able to make sense of what this is all for. And how to make sense of all the suffering that I've endured in my life, which to this day haunts me immensely." And she said, "The reason why Jesus of Nazareth is such a compelling person to me is because not only is he making the audacious claim to be God, but he does what God does not do, at least in the system I'm from. And that is in regards to suffering." She says, "And it fulfills every human longing and desire I have. I've searched in other systems, in secularism. I've tried it all, and nothing appeals to me more than the Catholic faith." I said, "How come?" I knew what she was going to say, but I want to hear her say it. And she says, "Because we are the only faith." And here I knew we were cooking with gas, and she's already talking in the first person plural. She's already desiring baptism. We could have done it right there on the spot. She would have let me. She says, "Because our system of faith enters into suffering and does not run. We do not run from suffering. In fact, in a world that has conditioned us to pull away from suffering and to do everything to escape it, our God takes the lead in leaning into that which is most mysterious about our lives, the mystery of suffering itself. And he doesn't do it to prove a point. He does it out of love, because he wants to show every person who will accept him in faith that this leaning into suffering and entering into its throes himself, he's not a distant, passive God who has no real interest in our own experience, but he will say, 'No, no, I will take it upon myself in its worst form, and I will go there where no other claimant to be divine will even sniff or try.'" She says, "Jesus is the answer to my life. He makes sense of that, which seems, at least to this point, seemed at least to this point, to be completely and utterly senseless." And I said, "I need to sign you up for a graduate program in theology." But she said, "But there's more." I go, "I know, there's a lot more. We're just scratching the surface here." And she says, "I realize that as much as we focus on the physical suffering," and even this is a little bit of a paradox if you look at our crucifix here, and this is no insult to you, or this is just westernized crucifixion. This cross, as beautiful as it is very sanitized. I mean, if you really wanted to have a actual realistic depiction of the Lord, okay, first of all, he'd be naked. We can start there. And his entire body would be lacerated beyond recognition of a human person. Of course, he's a divine person who takes on a human nature, but that's a different homily for a different day. And completely the man of sorrows, abject, completely empty. She says, we focus on the human suffering, the physicality of the cross. And if you've all seen the Passion of the Christ, I mean, isn't the great challenge of it not to look away during those scenes which are really hard to watch? I always tell the seminarians, you can't pass the ordination until you watch the Passion of the Christ with toothpicks in your eyelids. Okay, you got to watch the whole thing. You got to stand in there in the trenches with the Lord. She said, what compelled me the most about our Lord is this. He knew in his divine mind that in spite of all the horror being done to him and all the suffering he was entering into, for those who would not accept him, this would be pointless. It's not because the act itself objectively is pointless. It's the infinite source and wellspring of our lives. But in order for it to have actual application in our lives, we actually have to accept the mystery of the cross and enter into faith communion with the Lord. And she said, and even if just a few would accept, it was worth it to him. It was worth it to him. He would do it even for the few. She says, I have worked on many projects in my life, later discovering that all along for the last 2 years, everything I've been working on was never going to make the final edition of our product. And I thought to myself, how frustrating. Had I known that, I would not have poured myself out into the work that I was doing. Jesus knew that his cross would mean nothing for those who would not accept in faith, and yet he did not hesitate for a moment to pour himself out completely out of love. She says, that's the God I want to believe in. That's the God who makes sense. That's the God who supersedes mere human convention. And that's the God I want to receive in baptism. I said, let's do it. Of course, we had to wait a few more months to go through the whole process. She had to fill in some blanks about other things in the faith. So be it. And that's what we did. But you see, it's remarkable that this central mystery of our faith in terms of the paradox of human suffering and death as our sign of glory continues to speak volumes, and perhaps now more than ever, when so many people's lives are so void of meaning. A really thoughtful person who's really contemplated what this is about can arrive by the grace of God to faith in the Lord Jesus. So for those of you for whom perhaps this, what I've just shared, is somewhat new, great. Stew on it. It's a lot. And for those for whom this is just a reminder of the depth of God's love for us, great too. It never hurts to be reminded. Let us pray today that we renew our faith in our blessed Lord. We adore his holy cross, and we relish in being sons and daughters of the Most High God, who sent his only begotten Son to be like us in all things but sin, to enter and to lean into the very depths of our human condition, the mystery of suffering and death itself, and was not defeated by it, but rose glorious on the third day to defeat all of it so that we may have life. We adore thee, O Christ, and we bless thee, because by thy holy cross thou hast redeemed the world.